HeavenIsForRealMovieResources.com.
Radio for Catholic and other Christians. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Stay tuned. We haven't calculated it yet. We're not really sure how this works. Speculation. But this is the only program in all of Catholic radio that can take time off your purgatory. Because I can be so irritating to listen to. But we're not sure if it translates minute to minute, minute to 10 minutes, exactly how that works, especially since there's no time in eternity. So I'm all confused. Nevertheless, I think you can count on the fact that sometime will be reduced. And those of you who are steady listeners, loyal listeners, whew, I could be your number one escape hatch. Good morning, West. Good afternoon, East. This is Dr. Ray Guarendi. Glad to be back with you. Missed a couple days out and about traveling. I want to just quick thanks to the folks at Miles Christi in Livonia and Notre Dame Diocese of South Bend. Thank you, thank you. And last night, Las Vegas, Nevada. So thank you also very much. 877-573-7825. 877-573-7825. They used to do studies on how many numbers the average person could remember, and the optimum number was 7. Phone numbers were 7 digits. Well, now, because there's so many people and so many phone lines, it's 10. So if I just said 877-573, you could get it. Or if I said 573-7825. You actually don't even have to remember the 877. That's what the neuropsychologists call a chunk. 877 is a chunk. It's just free phone call. Enough of that. Here's how the program works. I am not a neuropsychologist. I'm a clinical psychologist. That means what I do for a living is assess, diagnose, treat, intervene, jaw, give guidance therapeutically. Individually, don't run groups anymore. Used to. Here, we educate. We give ideas and thoughts, options, situations of life. Faith intersects life, kids, marriages, people you can't get along with, all of that stuff. One last time, the number, 877-573-7825. I also probably should give my name. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi. The Catholic Radio Renaissance Man Award is coming up very shortly here, and so I am really putting my foot down to the metal to just roar ahead on humility. Yeah, that's why I don't get my name. Or if I give it, I give it wrong. Okay, I got a number of monologues. Not sure which one I want to do. All right, let's do this one. I was going to do a kid one, but this is a grown-up one. Part of fallen human nature is that we are very protective of ourselves. We are. We're defensive. We take offense easily. We, as our Lord said, look to take the speck out of our brother's eye while we're looking around the log in our own. It's part of being fallen. You want to get along better with people, whether it's a spouse, kid, crabby neighbor, boss, mother-in-law, father-in-law, difficult adult child. One of the ways to do that, and it's a way we don't like, I don't like it, you ask a question. What is my role in all this? rather than focusing on what the other person is doing. Their offensiveness, their hurtfulness, their arbitrariness, their nastiness, their thoughtlessness, all of the things that we view in them that affect us negatively. What if you took that mirror and you held it up to your own psyche and you essentially said, if I had to put a percentage on this interaction, a percentage of, if you will, blame, what's my percentage? I will tell you now, part of our defensiveness, part of our self-protectiveness, is that even if we choose to do that, we're going to apply to ourselves probably a smaller percentage of blame than is real. And I know for sure we're probably going to apply to ourselves a much smaller percentage of blame than the other person in the conflict would. I see this in marital therapy all the time. Each spouse is convinced that the other person is 70% at fault. Well, 70 plus 70 is 140. You can't have a total of 140% blame. Nevertheless, we tend to see ourselves as less at fault and the other as more at fault. Now, I know many of you out there are thinking, Gregory, you don't know what my mother-in-law is like. You don't know how difficult my husband is. You don't know my cousin. Nobody likes my cousin. I understand this. I truly understand it. However, if we are going to improve ourselves, walk closer to Christ, then we are obliged as Christians. We have to. We don't have a choice here. We can't say, well, you know, I'm a pretty good Christian, and I don't really think I have to look at myself. No, you do. Of course you do. In interpersonal relationships, be they with a kid, with another grown-up, with an elderly, with the person who is closest to us, we have to get better. Who am I to tell you? I have to get better at looking more objectively at me. What did I say to make it worse? How do I act that makes it worse? How am I irritable too? How am I hypersensitive? How am I overreactive? How am I irritable? I got to ask that. I may not want to ask it. I'd much rather look at you, because I'll tell you, I am so much better at picking you apart than I am me. Matter of fact, I think if I went to confession, bless me, Father, my wife has sinned. Or put somebody in there. I'm a lot better at sizing up others' faults than I am my own. It would seem, from a psychological / social / emotional perspective, to walk closer to Christ is to, ouch, oh, ooh, ow, to look at oneself and say, what percentage of the blame is mine? Now, here's part of what happens. We get very general. Well, I know I'm not the easiest person to live with. Or, I got my faults. Or, I'll admit, sometimes it's partly my fault. See, it's always, it's vague. It's real diffuse. And this isn't just my clinical opinion. There's studies that have done this. We tend to see ourselves in a sort of nondescript way. Yes, I know, I can be irritable sometimes. When? Well, yeah, there's times. When? Well, I'd have to think about that. Well, what do you do when you're irritable? Oh, yeah, I get irritable. I get irritable. How's that manifest itself? Well, manifests itself in manifestation. Yeah, that's what it does. Manifestation of irritability. That's kind of what it does there. You see, I don't know about you. I really hate looking at myself. Not just in the mirror because I'm getting older. It goes a lot deeper than that. The key is, if you can look at yourself and still understand that God loves you, and you don't want to look at yourself and say, oh, geez, I'm a wretch. Who could like me? Who could love me? I'm just so pitiful. No. That's the real interesting thing about God, isn't it? He knows what percentage of the blame is ours a lot more accurately than we do. And he loves us a lot more than we do. 877-573-7825. 877-573-7825. This is Dr. Ray. Be right back.
The Doctor Is In is brought to you in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com, your national and local online business directory, connecting Christian business professionals with Catholic consumers. Advertisers have taken a stand to support Christian family values in the marketplace. It's important to support businesses that embrace life and promote the gospel of Christ. And at CatholicBusinessPages.com, business professionals have taken that stand. CatholicBusinessPages.com, a great place to get connected.
From Affirm Films comes Heaven Is For Real, based on the book about the incredible experience of a young boy's journey to heaven.
You saw heaven? What does it look like?
It's beautiful.
And his return home. This Easter, experience the hope of one family story. Heaven Is For Real, with Greg Kinnear, and introducing Connor Corum as Colton Burpo. In theaters Wednesday, April 16th. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. More information is available at heavenisforrealmovieresources.com.
The family is God's first institution. Today, however, with plummeting divorce rates, widespread cohabitation, and the redefinition of marriage, God's institution is in trouble. Join us for a one-day conference April 7th, where presenters Jennifer Roback Morse of the National Organization of Marriage and Harry Berizer from the University of Detroit will share proven techniques that have shown to lower divorce rates and thereby strengthen congregations and communities. Go to dofh.org or call 734-717-1174 to register.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Dunha-Garmo, co-publisher and editor-in-chief of the Chaldean News. It's a news magazine for the Chaldean community, about the Chaldean community, and for anyone who wants to engage the Chaldean community. As Christians from Iraq, Chaldeans are proud supporters of Ave Maria Catholic Radio. We invest many hours into this monthly news magazine to keep you invested in the community. You can subscribe or advertise today. Contact us at www.chaldeannews.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Doing my version of the highly popular 90s sitcom, Everybody Loves Raymond. This is Catholic Radio's counterpart. A few people sort of tolerate Raymond. I'm Raymond Guarendi. Thank you for joining me here on The Doctor Is In. Sarah is wondering. That's right, she's wondering. Now, that is not really the word, I think it's a participle, that one would use given the question that Sarah has. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Dr. A.
You know, this kid is 4 years old, right?
Yeah.
Is it a boy or girl?
It's a girl.
Girl. At this point, Does she sit on the pot?
Yes.
Okay.
She does. I just have to remind her to go, and I try to remind her to go every hour.
Every hour? Wow.
Well, she knows already how to poop on the toilet. It's just peeing. I noticed that she's having trouble to where she'll have three accidents, or I've tried to do the reward system, the sticker system, any type of system, but she says that she doesn't understand when she has to pee, but she knows how to poop. And whenever I see that she's peed, I say, hey, look, you peed. And
here's what we'll do. I'm going to assume nothing's physically wrong, right?
Right.
Okay. What's your little girl's name?
Catherine.
Oh, you know that. That is from the original Greek. Katheroi. Which means she who cannot sit on potty. Yeah. You look that up. That's kind of what it says. Tell Catherine, sweetheart, you're a big girl, and mommy's going to help you put you on the pot. And if you go, we'll cheer, and we'll have a parade, and we'll get you a pet elephant and a red Corvette when you're 12. All of that stuff. Ooh and ah, however you want to ooh and ah. However,
okay.
However, if she doesn't, say 3 minutes, give her 3 minutes, 2 minutes, whatever you wish there. Keep in mind, you don't have to do it every hour. That's really a lot. Maybe every 2 hours.
Okay.
And then, if she doesn't, take her off, and everything that she asks for, to go outside, to read a book, to play with her stuffed animals, to play with her farm animals, to watch TV, whatever she asks for, her favorite cup. You simply say, oh, honey, those are big girl privileges. And I'll give you that after you go on the potty.
Okay.
Now, at which point, she may just run there and plop down. Or she may just get all frustrated and cry. But ultimately, she's going to see that if she goes, life is normal. If not, it's constricted.
Okay.
All right.
Could I do a different type of discipline for her besides just restricting items for her?
Well, you can. The problem is she's 4 years old. And you've been bouncing all over the place for the last 2 years, and you've basically taught Catherine, just do it your way, honey, and I'll give up and try something else. And if you do that, it creates a perception in her. The perception is, Mom, I can outlast you. Mom, you've tried stickers, you've tried M&Ms. You've tried clapping, you've tried taking pictures, whatever. But I just can outlast you. That's why I'm saying this will reinforce to her that at age 4, she's ready. She's clearly ready. And it's probably more of a behavior problem now than anything else.
Okay.
All right, sweetie. Call me back. Let me know. Most folks, within a week, it's all over.
Okay.
It's not all over. Bad choice of words. It's all in one place. Okay,
all right.
Thank you, honey. Now,
all right.
Okay. If this were a boy, this would be very simple. Very simple. Give him something to read. That's it. Now, he may sit there for 40 minutes, as we guys do. You're just establishing that male aspect, you know? Give him Field and Stream or something like that. Let's see. Where'd my clock go? They took my clock. They took my clock, and there goes my phone. I better shut that phone off real quick here. Hear it? There we go. Took care of that. Now, let's go to Danny. Danny from California. Hi, Danny.
Hey, Dre, how are you?
I'm doing fine, sir. Thanks.
My question was my daughter. I mean, she's a kind of a middle child. I have a 14, a 12, a 6, and a 5-year-old. And my 11-year-old is she states that she doesn't get attention when she does. My wife does a pretty good job of, you know, giving them attention and personal time. And for some reason, she's not seeing it. What kind of questions can we ask her to ask herself, or can we ask her, or do to show her that attention that she seems to need?
Well, here's where a parent has to be confident in what they're doing. For example, Danny, you said, hey, my wife is very good at giving all the kids the attention they need when they need it. She's good at that. She does that. Right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So as you size this up, it's not a matter of your wife falling short. It's a matter of your 11-year-old daughter being a little more sensitive or clingy or whatever it is about her temperament, her wiring, her nature, that makes her react and think, I'm just not getting enough of what I want. Is she in any way a behavior problem?
No, she's a very good girl. She doesn't really rebel. She kind of like keeps to herself. You know, sometimes I can see it in her that she wants. She has like these like little bad thoughts, but for the most part, she keeps those things like she doesn't really like, you know, do anything bad. She's a good girl.
If it were me, and when you have something like this where a kid is complaining that you as the parent aren't giving them their emotional due, and you're convinced that you are, I would probably say something like, "Sweetheart, you get the same attention as everybody else, and we try to give attention when people need it. And so I think this is in your head." Now, some folks might say, oh, that's terrible. Dr. Ray, you're not validating her emotions. You need to understand that she's feeling neglected. The problem with that is, if objectively she's not being neglected, then what tends to happen is she starts to wallow in this idea that my sisters and brothers are getting more than I do in terms of parental attention. And at some point, a parent has to say, you know what? That's not the way it is. That is not the way it is. And you have to more or less firmly and gently say, you know what, sweetheart? We're giving you all the attention we give everybody else. I don't know why you're convincing yourself that we're not. Now, I guess, Danny, you could ask her. The problem with that is you've probably talked this over with her a gazillion times, right?
My wife, she really pushes my wife. She doesn't tell me about these things, but she really pushes my wife about it.
Sure.
She's been doing it in front of me.
Sure. So she's been doing this for a long time, and in a way, there probably is a manipulative component. Mom, I'm going to make you feel rotten. Mom, you need to feel guilty about what you're doing to me. Now, in your little girl's mind, she may be absolutely convinced that she's getting shortchanged. I'm not saying that she's thinking to herself, I know that I get the same amount of attention as my siblings, but that's okay. I'm going to act like I don't. No, probably in her mind, she thinks she doesn't. However, that's a misperception. And misperceptions, you can't continue to fuel them. You can't continue to sit there and try to convince her and agonizingly go back and forth over this over and over and over again, because what tends to happen is, as you see, Danny, she gets locked into this.
Yeah,
it's her whole mode of looking at family life. I'm getting ripped off. And I think at some point, your wife might have to say, you know what, sweetheart? We've been round and round about this for a long time. And this is not true at all. And I want you to quit accusing me of this.
Yeah.
That's the way I approach it anyway.
Yeah, it makes sense, Dr. Ray.
Okay, buddy. Good luck, man.
Thank you very much, Dr. Ray. Have a good day.
All right, I'll talk to you. Do I got enough time to take another one? No, not really. 877-573-7825 is the number. We have got a line open, Andrew? No, it doesn't look like we do. Well, when we do, love to have you. My website's drray.com, drray.com. If you go there, there's information on how to get in the audience for the TV show. Love to have you in the audience for the TV show, Living Right with Dr. Ray. Airs at 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, Saturday nights on EWTN. Third season starting here in a few weeks. And we are taping in May for the fourth season in Cleveland, Ohio. So if you're within driving distance of Cleveland, you know, you live in middle of Lake Erie, we would love to have you. I believe the audience really helps make the show. And you're part of the show, too. You can sit there and look good and smile at the camera. We don't have a stunt audience. You're going to do all your own stunts.
One in three Americans deal directly or indirectly with alcohol or substance abuse in their lifetime. If you're dependent and contemplating help, start listening to Renewing Hope every Saturday at noon on Ave Maria Radio. Renewing Hope is an information gateway to overcoming dependency. Brought to you by the St. Gregory Retreat Center, they want to help. Send your comments and questions without obligation to Renewing Hope at AveMariaRadio.net. And all audio archives can be found at our website at AveMariaRadio.net.
For Christians, the new health care law presents some difficult moral dilemmas. Every insurance plan is now required to cover things like the morning after pill. So if you don't want your health care dollars funding procedures or prescriptions that go against God's design, what should you do? Fortunately, the law allows believers a better choice. MediShare. It's Christians across America who share each other's medical bills. It's affordable. Family options average around $300 a month. Best of all, you never pay for things that break God's heart. MediShare is a healthcare choice for life.
Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your healthcare. For your free information guide, call 855-PSALM-11. Not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical healthcare. Call 855-PSALM-11. That's 855-PSALM-11.
Him Family Dentistry continues to offer pain-free dentistry and innovative ideas that will make you shake your head in disbelief. In addition to one-visit crowns, Him Family Dentistry offers Invisalign. Invisalign is an invisible teeth straightener and alternative to braces that allows you to eat what you want and remove them when necessary and with none of the irritation and soreness. To save time and discomfort, call Him Family Dentistry at 734-421-0121. That's 734-421-0121.
Yeah, some of the states could bilocate. I can't do that. But I can bilocute.
Speak to two different cities at the same time. This is Dr. Ray Guarendi on The Doctor Is In. Thank you. Thank you for joining us here on the program. Am I pronouncing this right? Is it Wendis? Is that right, Wendis?
Yep.
Hi, sweetie. How are you?
Got it. I'm doing good. How are you?
All right. Now, the question here, should you go to the civil wedding of a non-practicing Jehovah's Witness who is a friend of yours, who is also, at this point anyway, cohabitating? Right?
Yes, that is my question.
See, here's the thing. Folks who are not Catholic are not bound by the Catholic teaching. I mean, in the eyes of God, he'll sort out moral truth. But in terms of, for example, how we view marriage as a sacrament, your friend, obviously, is of a different perspective. And so she isn't obliged to do it the way you would do it as a Catholic, okay?
Following now, Isn't that part of the teaching for Jehovah's Witness, though, as well? That they have to be married prior to living together?
Well, I would think so. However, the problem there is, priests will tell you, a distressingly high percentage of young couples who get married in the Catholic Church live together first. So if we say, well, I can't go to their wedding, what most priests will say is that we are grateful that they are taking the step to make this honorable and holy in the right direction. So your friend, for me, the issue is not the fact that she's getting married, because at some very superficial level, she's committing herself to this guy. For Catholics, civil wedding, of course, is meaningless, other than what aspects of the law that might give someone a benefit from it, i.e. insurance or taxes or whatever. Mm-hmm. But for your friend, I don't think there's a moral problem at all. I'm pretty sure about this. It's not a moral problem if you go.
Okay, she didn't want to... I mean, she already understands that I don't agree with what she's doing.
Sure.
I didn't want to also lead support to her getting married.
Well,
civilly,
she's taking a baby step.
I just wanted to make sure that it wasn't something that I should not be attending.
She's taking a baby step. All right? She's living with this guy, and then she decides, okay, I'm going to get a justice of the peace or whatever to marry us civilly. So hopefully that's a move towards more moral living.
Mm-hmm.
In your case, and if she were Catholic, it'd be different.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
at that point, she'd just be ignoring the church. She'd be ignoring the church teaching, all of that. But this friend of yours is not only, well, she's a Jehovah's Witness, it sounds like, in name, but for the most part, she just kind of lives very secularly and sort of does what the culture does. So I think to hold the friendship, you can certainly go there and just quietly be a bystander. And
okay.
I don't think there's a problem there. Okay, sweetie, thank you.
Well, thank you. Right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Got time? Oh, yeah. I got all kinds of time. We have an anonymous caller from somewhere in the solar system. Hi, anonymous caller from somewhere in the solar system. You're not on Jupiter, are you? Because Jupiter's a big gas ball, and you probably couldn't stand there.
No, I'm not.
And if you were on, say, for example, Uranus, your legs would buckle because the gravitational pull is so heavy. But anyway,
okay.
We're delighted to have you. See, that's what Andrew does. When an anonymous caller calls in and says, not only do I personally want to stay anonymous, but my place is anonymous, we usually put solar system or Azerbaijan or someplace anonymous. So you got a 12-year-old son, and you're now moving toward how do I properly, morally instruct him on the issues of manhood, boy, girl, and sexuality, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So you go to school?
He's homeschooled.
Okay, so he's probably...
And he doesn't have a lot of... I guess he has contact with other girls, but in a friendship sort of way. Not too many, though. And he's just physically maturing, and we need... the basic education.
Sure.
Sure.
There are some good Catholic materials out there. Catholic Answers has some. I know Colleen has some at sexrespect.com. There are some great things. I'm blanking on her name. Andrew, do you know the name? I'm blanking on her. Delightful. Okay. Who's the delightful young woman who has materials on sexuality in teens, and she's also done a lot of apologetics work? I know I'm blanking on her. Shoot. not Pam, although Pam Stencil is an option. Wendy Melbourne? Wendy?
Wellborn?
Is it Amy Wellborn? Amy Wellborn. Yeah. She's got some nice stuff. Okay. Got some real nice stuff. So you can look into that. I would begin by talking with your son and saying, you know what, son? Tell me what you know about this boy-girl stuff. And he might be embarrassed. And you say, well, at your age, you know, I'm sure you've come across things on TV. You have talked with friends. What do you know? What do you understand? And what don't you understand? Let's talk about some of this. To open up the subject, to begin to just put his sexuality within the context of his Catholic morality.
Mm-hmm.
That's the big thing. Go ahead.
This is something that my husband has been has done a little bit with him. Is that what you would recommend with this sort of opening up?
Sure.
You know,
yeah, and also if you want to get some materials to go through together, that's fine. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
But you can do it yourself if you feel so confident. And you can just slowly, gradually instruct, introduce. You know, him being 12 and homeschooled, he may be certainly a little more innocent than the average 12-year-old boy. Okay? But that's good. That's okay. 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK is the number to call to get on to the program. This is Dr. Ray Garetti here. Thank you for joining me. See you in a couple.
Republicans, Democrats, no matter which political party is in office, there are always investment opportunities to be found. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds won't compromise the moral beliefs of its investors. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. The portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and moral values. Call toll-free 866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com.
Schwartz Investment Counsel, Inc., a registered investment advisor established in 1980, serves as an investment advisor. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. To obtain performance through the most recent month-end and a prospectus, which includes objectives, risks, fees, expenses, and other information that you should read and consider carefully before investing, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
This is a Marriage Minute with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse.
The bishops of the Roman Catholic Church are preparing for their synod on pastoral challenges to the family. Here at the Ruth Institute, we wish to ask the synod fathers to remember the victims of the sexual revolution. We have a petition respectfully asking them to do just that. For instance, think of the suffering of the children of divorce. In their little minds, they wonder if they are to blame for their parents' divorce. They may feel like leftovers when their parents have a new baby with a new spouse. They may grow up shuttling between two households, hoping they have all their homework with them. We hope the Synod Fathers will remember the suffering of the victims of the sexual revolution. Please go to RuthInstitute.org to sign our petition to the Synod Fathers. That's RuthInstitute.org.
This has been a Marriage Minute. Go to RuthInstitute.org. Remember the victims of the sexual revolution. That's RUTHInstitute.org.
Dr. Egarendi, a communicative male. Of course, the standards for communicative male are pretty low. I got a look at my wife, 6, 7, 8 seconds in a row, nod, and be able to repeat back what she said to me, at least the last 5 words. 877-573-7825. 7825, 877-573-7825. Nick from Boston, Mass. is asking a question that I deal with often when I give presentations. Nick, you there?
And also maybe an issue here or there. My question to you is, how come kids of my generation, I'm 30 years old, and back in the days, the discipline was totally different from what it is now, and I see a lot of people that are, I say, good Christians, good attorneys, good doctors, good everything, and I see kids now that are, that need to go to the therapist, that need to be medicated, that need to be told, that need to be, like, programmed, and I still see them at stores beating up their parents, and I see other people sit there and say, oh, you know, he's just developing into, you know, the person that he's going to be. He's going to be fine. He's seeing a therapist or, you know.
Nick, you're 30 years old, right?
Correct, yes.
Now, when I saw your question up there, I asked Andrew, so how old is Nick? Because I figured you were 68, 72, 75, because that's a question that people of an older generation look back and say, well, man, was it different when I was growing up. You're saying that 15, 18 years ago, you've noticed a radical difference already.
Oh, my God, to the point where I'm sitting here, I have two kids where we're thinking of a third, but the second one that we have, she sometimes is so out of control that we wonder if we should even try this, because when she hears my voice and when I say something, she hears the sergeant and it gets done. Her mother tells her something, and she will climb all over her mother, hit her mother, and her mother kind of just says, well, she's an energetic child.
Nick, you're asking two questions, buddy.
Her to
Nick,
ballet classes.
You're asking two questions, buddy. The first question was a general question. What is happening to our society, what is happening to our families, what is happening to our morals, what is happening to our direction? Rapidly happening. And as you,
very rapidly.
From your perspective, 15 years, you see a radical difference. Okay, that's one. And the other question is, of course, why does your daughter listen to you better than she listens to her mother? Let's take the general one. So many factors are coming into play, in my opinion, that are creating, and I hate to use this cliche, a perfect storm. One, as a culture, we're becoming much more secular, much less God-oriented. Two, the moral glue that much of our culture agreed upon two, three, four generations ago is coming apart. And many, many people don't look at morality in any kind of way that they're obliged to follow it. Three, the shrinks have assaulted parents, in my opinion, with all kinds of theories, all kinds of ideas and notions that have really undercut traditional parental authority and confidence. In every way, shape, or form, there's so many ideas out there that are making parents feel nervous, insecure, unsure of themselves.
Oh, my God, that is so true.
It's true. I wrote my first book way, way back, 1984. That's right. I wrote that book when I was in middle school. Was called You're a Better Parent Than You Think. The only reason I got that book published, because I was a 20-some-year-old no-name, is because of the hypothesis in it, which is, what have we done to parents? We ruined them.
Yes.
Now, I suspect, I don't know how much your wife delves into all the proper parenting techniques, but to the degree that this stuff has shaped her, because we all tend to follow the culture, we do, it seeps into us.
She studied to be a teacher, which to me leads me to say, okay, well, she studied psychology, so she should know something.
Well, no,
more
she
than
probably
me.
Knew just enough to twist her head around. you may be following instincts, common sense, and authority that you, as a 30-year-old male, are quite comfortable with. She, on the other hand, wants to do it all the psychologically right ways, and so she thinks that she can reason with this little girl and talk it out and set up win-win scenarios. However it is, and she's getting frustrated because the little girl's not cooperating. The little girl
is... She calls me a bad father because in the middle of Walmart, she'll throw a fit, and the mother will say, you know, please get in the carriage and be quiet, and she'll just throw everything in the middle of the floor. And I'll sit there and use a very, I don't know if you could tell by the tone of my voice, militant voice and say, you get in there right now or we're going to deal with this when we get home. And she gets in the car, in the carriage, and it's all said and done. And then she tells me, you should not talk to your child that way in front of people.
Well, all right.
I didn't hit her. I didn't do anything wrong other than
got a lot of
my
issues coming
authority
up.
As a parent.
Nick, a lot of issues coming up here. That's one between you and your wife. I see a lot of this. I'll leave you with this. Many times, unfortunately, the wives, the mothers, want guys to parent like a woman, which means to be more verbal, more negotiable, more let's all just get along. When the guy is a perfectly loving father, he is not dictatorial, he's not autocratic, he's just much more authoritative. And at one time in our culture, that was very, very valued. Women, as a group, looked at a guy who was like that and said, well, at least their father can keep a rein on these things around here. Now, more and more women are looking at the guys and going, don't use that tone of voice. Oh, you sound rough. So, I hope your wife and you come to some meeting of the minds, which basically I'd ask her, I'd say, you know what, sweetheart, as long as I'm not being abusive or nasty, let me be a dad who disciplines different than a mom. This is Dr. Ray. I'll be right back.
Hi, this is Peter Herbeck, host of Fire on the Earth on Ave Maria Radio and Crossing the Goal on EWTN. Ave Maria Radio is conducting its annual spring membership drive, April 7th through the 11th, and I'm asking you to prayerfully consider pledging your support for this essential voice for the Catholic faith. Tune in April 7th through the 11th and make that pledge to help. Call 877-288-1077 or go online at avemariaradio.net. Thank you and God bless you.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, co-publisher and editor-in-chief of the Chaldean News. It's a news magazine for the Chaldean community, about the Chaldean community, and for anyone who wants to engage the Chaldean community. As Christians from Iraq, Chaldeans are proud supporters of Ave Maria Catholic Radio. We invest many hours into this monthly news magazine to keep you invested in the community. You can subscribe or advertise today. Contact us at www.chaldeannews.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
The Ave Maria Communications Guild invites you to activate your faith. All are invited to the Pregnancy Helpline Celebration for Life, Thursday, April 3rd at the Brighton Church of the Nazarene. The guest speaker will be former abortionist Dr. Anthony Levitino. Admission is $20, which benefits Pregnancy Helpline's life-saving work. For further details, call 517-282-5924. St. Edith's in Livonia will be hosting the Seven Last Words of Christ Sunday, April 6th. The musical performance incorporates soloists, chorus, and a narration to portray Christ's final thoughts and words at the crucifixion. For more information, call 734-464-1222, extension 314. You can find many more events and enter your own events at our website, avemariaradio.net. And to become a member of the Guild, call 877-288-1077. Catholic Radio. It's yours to keep and to grow.
Do you have a pet name? Not for your pet, for your spouse. 76%. This is a little survey. of couples who are extremely happy. Use pet names. Yeah. It's true. My wife gets mad when I call her Rover or Max. All right. I don't call her that. But pet names. Timothy from Springfield, Oregon. Timothy has a 14-year-old daughter who apparently got pregnant when she was 13 because her son is now 8 months old. Timothy says, my daughter seems to think that I am angry with her, and at times I am. How do I balance my disapproval of what she did while at the same time loving my grandson? Timothy, you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, sir.
Hello, Dr. A.
You know, it might not be the balancing act you think. You've already made it pretty clear. My guess would be way back, let's say 9 months plus 8 months, 17 months ago, 16 months ago when all this came to light, that you were extremely disappointed, extremely hurt, extremely frustrated, mad, right? There's no doubt in your daughter's mind, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So you don't have to continually carry an attitude of, you realize how upset I am with you about this. You realize what I think you did is very, very wrong, and you realize you've enormously, terribly complicated your life at age 14. You've conveyed that message, Timothy. Right now, what you got to do is love your grandson and love your daughter. Here's my question, though. She was 13 when she gave birth?
He had just turned 14. He's soon to be 15, April 2nd.
Did you ponder with her? Did you nudge her toward adoption?
I did. And she was adamantly opposed to any of that. And she has done remarkably well, Dr. A. I'm truly blessed with a daughter that has grown up. I mean, she's 14 going on 25.
Well, then it's time just to put what she did in the past.
I agree, and perhaps what I'm thinking is I'm mad at myself. Perhaps I'm thinking that I didn't give her the tools to express herself with regards to her sexuality and her boyfriends. I thought I did, but
Timothy,
maybe I didn't.
Maybe you did, and maybe you didn't. Unfortunately, there are so many factors now outside of your control that when something like this happens, if you look to blame yourself, if you get upset, you're probably
going to... Yeah, that's part of where I'm at now, is I get upset for no reason, it seems like.
Well, you're going to transfer all this to her, because every day is a reminder, as you see it, of your parental failure. So, this little eight-month-old, as much as you love him, as much as you love your daughter, it's a reminder. It's a daily reminder. Boy, this sure is not the way I would have written this script. I would say this, though, not for you, Timothy, but for folks listening. My daughter, my 10 children are adopted. My daughter, same situation. Very, very young birth mother. Very young. Her parents essentially said, we can't raise this child. We're not going to raise this child. So, at age 14, she really had no choice. She had to place the baby. Your daughter, or those of you listening who might someday find yourself in a similar situation, without the grandparents' cooperation, a very young mother may be in a position to have to place the baby for adoption. So, I know for you, Timothy, that decision's passed.
That decision is passed. It's passed for me, too. At this point,
yeah,
I could not give him up for adoption either.
I understand.
I could have maybe at birth, but not now.
I'm talking to parents here who, how should I put this? I think the parents can have a lot more influence on the adoption choice, especially for a very young mother, because without grandma and grandpa's support, the young mom is going to have a heck of a time raising this child. So I think an awful lot of moms and dads go, well, you know, it's up to her. She can make that decision. Well, yeah, but she was 14 years old. Okay? And here's my question. Right now, does that little baby have a father?
No.
He's gone, right? He's out of here. Right.
Last time we saw him was 2 months ago. And he did go to church with us, though. No, we saw him actually last Sunday. I called him up on Saturday night, and I asked him, will you go to church with us? He's kind of a Protestant, non-practicing person.
He's not involved in that baby's life.
He is not.
No, exactly. Exactly my point. Okay, Timothy, you love your daughter. You love that little baby. Don't worry about any more communicating your disapproval. That's already been done. She knows it. From this point forward, you've decided that little grandson of yours is a very special gift from God, and you're heading that way. Thanks for the company. Mary from Alabama, you call back. Brooke County, you'll be up first. I want to get that question. This is Dr. Ray. Got to run. Thanks, Andrew Krucek, and thanks to all of you for keeping me company. Walk with God. Hold your kids, if you got them, tight by the hand.
The Doctor Is In is brought to you in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com. Building community one business at a time. CatholicBusinessPages.com. Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
The Doctor Is In is brought to you in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com, your national and local online business directory, connecting Christian business professionals with Catholic consumers. Advertisers have taken a stand to support Christian family values in the marketplace. It's important to support businesses that embrace life and promote the gospel of Christ. And at CatholicBusinessPages.com, business professionals have taken that stand. CatholicBusinessPages.com, a great place to get connected.
From Affirm Films comes Heaven Is For Real, based on the book about the incredible experience of a young boy's journey to heaven.
You saw heaven? What does it look like?
It's beautiful.
And his return home. This Easter, experience the hope of one family story. Heaven Is For Real, with Greg Kinnear, and introducing Connor Corum as Colton Burpo. In theaters Wednesday, April 16th. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. More information is available at heavenisforrealmovieresources.com.
Who may receive the sacrament of holy orders? Except for deacons, the norm for receiving the sacrament, according to the Catholic Catechism, is a man of faith living a celibate life. Why celibacy? So that priests can serve Christ and His Church with an undivided heart. The Catechism assures us that celibacy, except